In chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel, as you read the details, you soon come to the conclusion that there's a very dramatic situation here out on the lake. And the storm had come, and this parable that we're looking at shows us how the Lord calmed the storm. But those words that I mentioned to you just now, let us go over on to the other side. Those words really describe what the Lord says to me and to you, to any boy or girl or man or woman who comes and receives Him as their Savior. There begins a journey then that will culminate with you and I getting to the other side. I'm not being morbid or trying to be gloomy or anything like that. When my dad was very ill and they couldn't do anything more for him, the family asked me to pray. And I can't say it was easy to do, but I simply prayed before them all, Lord, bring him comfortably over to the other side. And folks, that is where we all go. When we're saved, we go over to the other side. But in between all of that, some people can have an awful lot of living to do. I've told you before that a man I know, he and I have recently had a conversation about fishing again, and now in April, if God spares him, he will be 105. And he was saved, I can't remember, it was 80 something years ago, almost 90 years ago, from he trusted the Lord. So there can be a lot of living in between going over to the other side. But folks, as I just speak to you about that journey from earth to heaven, really, my own experience in life, and also as being a minister for 24 years almost, has shown me that on that journey from here to the other side, whenever that is, that there can be storms. And we all know that, and you may think I'm stating the obvious here. We know about storms that there are politically in countries and how there can be storms of all kinds. But one thing that I have learned is this, that very often there are private little storms. When I say little, they're not little to the people who have them. But they're private storms with the individual, and no one else really knows about. In fact, sometimes no one else at all, apart from the Lord, knows about those storms. And the amazing thing here is that these men that were with him, they were good people. It's important just now to mention that when they went to out in the boat there to go to the other side, there were, as the Gospels record, there were other little ships there. If you read Mark 4, not just the ship that he was in. And on that journey, when the storm came, they were actually thinking in their own hearts, all of them, does he really care? Why is he sleeping? Need to do something about this. Here we are, we're definitely going to perish, and he's just sleeping. The Lord is just sleeping. But he was in the midst of the storm. And folks, I want to say to you today, and to anyone who may be listening, and again, I may know some of your storm. Don't know all of them. And I know this. He's in the midst of the storm. That is the title this morning. He's in the midst of the storm. As we look at this together, I want you to notice then, there is here a stated purpose. Stated purpose. If you look at the words of our text, he said, let us go over to the other side. You see, in these words alone, the Lord makes it very clear that they're not going over on their own. For he says to them there, let us go over to the other side. And when we meet Christians, let's face it, sometimes we can doubt. When we meet Christians who are doubting, very often it is because we don't want to admit to it perhaps, but we really wonder, is he really with us there? Is he really with us? Well, I think we can look at these words and say that from we're converted to we go to heaven to be with Christ, that he will be with us all of the time. Because if he saved you when you were 4, or when you were 84, or whatever age it happens to be, the same message is there for you. Let us go over to the other side in between. We live for him. And he's with us, therefore. I want to say that he's with us in the wars of life, and I don't mean fighting with each other. You should never do that. You should go the extra mile to make sure it never happens. And but over in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, Isaiah chapter 43, it says, "But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." That verse is clear enough. Save God's people, for sure. But look at the next verse. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." That's a promise from the Lord. It's a promise for us to hold on to in the different wars of life. They could be wars to do with our health. They could be wars to do with our outlook as far as employment is concerned. Could be wars to do with our state of mind regarding education. There could be wars regarding, the Lord covers it all here, because it passes through the waters and then it gets a little bit higher. It says, "and go through the rivers." Did you ever feel you're going to be overthrown? I'm sure you did. It says there, "they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire," on a human level, not an altogether pleasant experience. But the Lord is with us. For he says here, "for I am the Lord, the God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Thy Savior. He's with us in the wars of life. And there are people, many believers, good people at the moment, who are in wars of one kind or another. Many health problems. Difficulties when people in public life are want to do that which is God honoring, and they're being opposed left, right, and center to go another way. Wars when people are even in employment are trying to behave in an honorable way, and there's pressure on to do something different from that. So just you and I, let us remember that the stated purpose here is, let us go over onto the other side. There's a whole lesson here in itself about walking closely with the Lord through life's journey. If we walk and are determined to go our own way, and, well, we're still his, but we can't expect to get it right. But we can. I'm not saying we'll be perfect all the time, but we can get it right. That we will walk with him. He will be with us in the wars. He will be with us in the work. In the work. And how often have you spoken to believers who are doing their best, maybe working really hard for the Lord, and they have become discouraged? It says over there at the end of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28, it says, verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee onto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." And when they, you see they're following him here, doing as he instructs. It says, "and when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted." Some of them doubted. You think, well, if I was one of the 11, I would not doubt. Well, I'm not naive enough to say that. because I might have. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. The therefore means go because of his power. Go because of his. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The end of verse 20, it says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And brothers and sisters, whatever you seek to do for the Lord, whether you're an encourager of other brethren and sisters, and that's a great ministry, or you're doing something that has you struggling, like preaching, you get messages all the time, or something else, dealing with a different culture in a different country, whatever it is, remembering that he is with us always, even unto the end of the world. And let's face it, we will get to the other side. And we would want to be doing our best now, and to be at our best, not just for ourselves, but for everybody else. We're all different. Personalities are different. But we want to be there for each other. Reminded of that the other day, I was listening to a man. I don't listen, I have to say, to very much. I have no patience, you see, my wife says, to listen to sermon audio or anything like that. But I was listening to a man, and he said, I need to live to honor the Lord. And then he said, because 70 is a possibility, not a promise. Now I know that I mentioned to you my friend David there, who's 105 nearly. But he said 70, it's a possibility, not a promise. You think of Colin Hart doing a great work there in the Christian Institute. He's gone at 60, totally unexpectedly. And that's what he was saying to me. I thought, you know, I want them doing what I can for him, knowing that he's with us. He will be with us in the war, with us in our work, but if you're tired today or you're feeling despondent, he'll be with us when we're weary. With us when we're weary. Over there in 2 Timothy, good job, the Lord understands us better than we understand each other sometimes, because he knows that sometimes we would go weary. Paul says, when he's speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, at my first answer no man stood with me, but all men pursued me. This is Paul we're talking about. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles may hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Simply means that he was spared from the sword of Nero. Now, he was later killed by Nero, or under Nero's instructions, but he was spared at that time. The Lord was with him, folks, when he was weary. And when you come to that passage there, you see that he was weary. He had been treated badly by people who should have been looking after him. And he'd been rejected on every hand. And he's a brilliant preacher, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. But the Lord stood with him. And he'll be with you, Christian, when you're weary. And maybe there's someone, and really, and I've spoken again to folks, and I guess, will I reach, really ever safely reach the other side? Of course you will. Of course you will. We've work to do now. But the Lord has promised. He said there in our text, let us go over unto the other side. Talking to a wee lady that I used to go to visit sometimes when I was helping her ma. She was up in Castle Dillon. Used to be a nursing home there, and I used to go to see her. She came from around Hamilton's Bond area, and used to be a very, very pleasant person. And then she just got the points just fed up, and all she wanted to do was go home to glory. And in the conversations with her, the one thing that sticks out in my mind was this, that she was always making it clear to me that she knew that the Lord was with her. And that it was, when it was his time, that he would bring her over to the other side. He'd bring her over to the other side. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19 says, lovely few words. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. And it says there, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now the verses before that talks about profane and profane babblings and arguing and ranting and all of that. And then it even says the word of those people eats like a canker or a gangrene. But then it goes on to say, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you. So we have here his stated purpose. He goes with us on our journey as we journey toward the other side. He's in the midst when the storms come along. We mentioned that in the wars and the work and where we read. But there's not just a stated purpose. I just want to mention this briefly. There is what I've called a strange path. A strange path. We don't preach health and prosperity gospel or health and wealth gospel because that is not in keeping with the word of God. We preach that the Lord will save your soul if you come as a sinner to him. He will do that. But we're not immune because we're converted to Christ. There's no immunity from the storms, folks. And sometimes it seems almost like a strange pathway. And people, I can't say where they attend to worship, and that's up to them. But I can know some right now, and they're hearing this, you know, it's all in Jesus' name, rebuking the devil because a person's sick. How do they know it's from the devil? And it caused confusion and plant false hopes in the minds of people when you preach a health and a wealth gospel. It says over there in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And folks, sometimes that can mean rejection by loved ones. It can mean you being on a pathway and you find it strange. You remember when Peter was writing, he talked about, think it not, you know, concerning the fiery trial, as though some strange thing happened unto you. We always try to encourage people to come and to trust the Lord, but we never ever, ever say that will be the end of all your worries. And you'll never have any difficulties. And you'll never have any storms, because simply put, that would be lies. That would be lies. And it is, sometimes it seems a strange pathway. But just as you look at this strange pathway here, the Lord knew the storm was coming, and yet he didn't stop them from going out of the boat. He's all knowing. He didn't stop them from going out in the boat. He permitted the storm to come. He allowed them even in some degree to feel the force of the storm. And yes, he appeared unconcerned because he was asleep. But he was with them through it all. And what a lesson there is for us, folks. Human thinking, things kicks in the wrong angle sometimes. We can think he's not there and think, well, this is a very strange pathway to be on as a Christian. And it all ties in with the first point when we mentioned about the wars and the weariness and the work and the storms that come there. There is, and I just wanted to mention that, a strange path. But I want to mention then after that, there is a stalling possible. Here's where the danger comes. A stalling possible. The disciples were filled with fear and doubt, and can I use the word resentment, because he wasn't doing anything for them. They had shown their love for him, and now, as far as they were concerned, they were going to go under. Going to go under. You ever figured you were going to go under? Maybe a bit of news for you, speaking to a minister, and there's plenty of ministers who read the week of prayer. And he told me then last year, thought he was going to go under. It wasn't because he can't preach, because he can. It was other things. He felt he was going to go under. And he knew what it was for that fear. And I'll not use the word doubt and resentment, for the fear to come. And unsettledness. And folks, whatever you do during the week for a living, you can be in that place where you feel, cursed I not that we perish. Does the Lord not perish? Am I going to go under? And whenever that comes and doubt comes, then there's the stalling. Stalling possible. And you can feel, well, I'm not going on anymore now. I'm not doing anything else. Because I think that I'm going to go under. Again, when I was visiting a wee man, and I mentioned to you before, really nice person, and a very, very encouraging person, he said to me on more occasions than one, especially whenever his health was really declining, he said, Mr. Saul, I can only go down so far because I'm always reminded that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. Therefore, he wasn't going to go under, and neither are you. Neither are you. And because there may be a storm in the workplace, there may be something going on and you can't fully understand it all, it's for us to keep looking to him. The Lord that allowed this storm to come, he could have prevented it from coming. You may ask the question, well, why didn't he? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But I'm talking here about the stalling. And again, through experience, we feel that some people have stalled. It's not being critical, it's a fact, it's a concern. And if I can help them, I will do that. And yes, sometimes they're full of fear and doubt. And sometimes they're resentful, even towards maybe me. I still try and help them again. Still try and help them. Because if I don't, what's going to happen? Is it going to get worse? And is that really the way the Lord would have me to do? There's a stalling possible here. But I want to say, finally, really, there's a strengthening process. A strengthening process. And that was the reason, really, for it all. The Lord had promised them, we're going to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. Now they were beside themselves, thinking, oh, we're never going to get there. And he said they would. They didn't really trust his promise. They didn't value his presence when they thought he was sleeping. And because he was sleeping, that he wasn't in control anymore. And they didn't really think, even though that same view of things, that he could do anything with this storm. So in this storm that we see here, we've used the head for the point here, a strengthening process. How can it possibly be a strengthening process? Well, there is. First of all, it could help in develop and increase their faith. Did you see what the Lord said then? And he said it very gently there in verse 25. And he said unto them, where is your faith? He wasn't talking down to them. He was just saying to them, remember to have faith. Remember to have faith. Where is your faith? And time again, I'll just read what it says actually in 1 Peter right now and chapter 1. It says, first of all, in verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When I was a student, you remember a lady stayed behind one night, she thought she needed to be saved, and I don't know where I was preaching, but she as soon as discovered she was saved already, she was just doubting, and she lacked a wee bit of assurance, and then brought her to this verse, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If you're saved, you're kept. Don't worry about that. But look what it says. Wherein ye greatly rejoice now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And the word temptations there does not mean a temptation to be envious or a temptation to be angry, or a temptation to be whatever. The word means trials. That's what it means, trials. You're in heaviness through manifold or different types of trials. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and the glory and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. And folks, you think, well, how can we ever be glad in a trial? Well, the trial itself does not make us seem glad. But think of the outcome. It increases your faith. Many can look back to times before when we trusted Him. We trusted Him in different storms. And that we're here today still trusting Him. These men would have their faith developed, and so can you and I in the storm. But more than that, you can see here that the reason for the Lord allowing it happening was that His power might be manifested. His power might be manifested. No one could do anything. You had these fellows in the boat with them, and then you had all these other little ships, all at which end corner. And then you have suddenly the Lord rebuking the wind and the waves. And folks, let's not let Him in. Again, I said, we don't preach health and wealth gospel, but we want to say that there's nothing the Lord cannot do. And let's not be afraid to ask Him for plenty. Do the best we can, live the best we can, but ask Him to do plenty. He needs to do plenty in Northern Ireland. He needs to do plenty, let's face it, in the Free Presbyterian denomination. He needs to do plenty right across the mainland. And because it's not there, I mentioned again that little booklet that I was reading by Oswald J. Smith, The Revival We Need. Sometimes in the mainland things were unbelievably dark, craved. It all turned around. And it seemed within a matter of weeks that it was a different country you were living in. That was because God came in power. And you may look out today and say, well, we're going through a storm. Christianity is going through a storm. There may not be persecution, that we're being hurt physically in this country, but you're being more and more curtailed, albeit there's still plenty of freedom, but you are being more and more curtailed. And the things that you think are in keeping with God's word are being eroded from society and not looked upon as important anymore. And you think, well, it's nearly all gone. It's all disappeared now, and things can never change. We're just like the disciples in the boat thinking, Lord, are you asleep? Why are you sleeping? Well, the Lord knows, folks. And he knows exactly where you are, and where the country is, and where I am. And we just keep praying that His power will be revealed in His time. They learn. Their faith would be increased. They learn to trust in His power, but He would prove His love toward them. He would prove His love toward them. I mentioned to you Mary, who's originally from the Isle of Lewis. Some of you know the story of Duncan Campbell, who went there to preach for a couple of weeks. He stayed something 2 years. And so many people were converted in the Lewis Awakening and turned to the Saviour. But what I'm saying is this. There were so many people there who were already saved and were praying, and it didn't come. And it didn't come, and it didn't come. And then it did come. Then it did come. So folks, really, the message here is keep looking to Him. Keep looking to Him, because eventually, if you read the verses there, they got to the other side. And so would you and I get to the other side. But I mentioned the other little ships here. The other little ships were in the same predicament. But Christ was on one with His people there. And there's no question, most of the, and in fact any of the commentators that I've read believe that the significance of these little ships being mentioned there was that they would have been wondering, how did that happen? How did that storm just cease like that? And of course the story would have been told. It was Him. It was Him that done it. And folks, what a manifestation of His power, and what a witness to others of what Christ is able to do. See in your storm and work, or any other storm that you're in, there's other little ships, people watching. And when the Lord brings you through and me through, you'll know it's Him. You'll know it was Him because we get back to the start again. He's in the midst of the storm. As again, I don't be nosy. If you have something going on you want to talk to me about, I'm more than willing to listen. But I'll not be prying into your business. But I say this, you probably know some kind of storm. And in the midst of that storm, remember, He's in the midst. He says to us all today, and whether we live long or short, let us go over unto the other side. He will be with us, folks. And the Lord bless these good thoughts to all of your hearts this morning.